I'd like to call the Capital Investment Committee meeting to order. We have one bill before us today, Senate File 986. When we have a sufficient number of people, I have an amendment to this bill that perhaps we can, in the essence of time, because I understand there's people all over this building in different rooms today, and we're probably going to have to juggle a little bit in terms of times to get people in here to vote and so on and so forth. But to Senate File 986, I would have an A1 amendment, and maybe just preliminarily we can hand that out so that people can get a sense of what it is. Oh, pardon me. I understand it should be in your packets. So let me just say this. Senate File 986, as amended with the proper vote at the proper time, will be an amendment that, be a bill that asks the Department of Management and Budget to seek through refinancing up to $60 million of money that might otherwise be used for general fund purposes. And it goes on to say that if they can't find that money, with the adoption of the amendment, we will suggest to the department that they should go ahead and delay projects such as we don't utilize that money going forward, and we're able to again use it within the framework of our budget this year. So that's the essence of this amendment. It's my hope is that it's a tool that never has to be used, but frankly at this point the Finance Committee needs this option to at least be in their tool chest in terms of going forward.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, you know, I was chair for 10 years, and one thing we found out was that when bonds were sold for, or when we authorized certain projects, there was very little money required for debt service the first biennium. And it just looks to me like even if you cancel several hundred million dollars worth of bonds, it's going to have very, very little effect on this next biennium. Have you seen any figures on just how much savings that would be based upon canceling many of these projects? I just don't think you can pick up much at all.
Madam Chair, Senator Langsett, I've not seen that to date, at least. We would ask the department to bring that forward, or at least perhaps Finance Committee would. But no, I've not seen that yet. But I understand what you're saying, because you're right. The first year, not a lot of cash is used for debt. It certainly increases going forward, but not the first year.
Mr. Chair, it would seem to me it's not going to go very much towards the $60 million at all, no matter how much you cancel. But
right.
I imagine there will be some figures that that they could come up with based upon whatever.
And Senator Langsett, that's the request of this bill, is to, going forward, get a little bit more information about the possibility of using this tool. If I could call up Ms. Christine Hansen from the Office of Management and Budget. Welcome, Ms. Hansen. May I note, I'm told that we do have a quorum present, so if we could, could we have the adoption of the A1 amendment? I would move that amendment. Is there any discussion on it? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay, and the amendment is adopted. Thank you. Ms. Hansen, welcome to the committee. If you would introduce yourself and offer your testimony, we would look forward to it.
Thank you. Chairman Semjian, members of the committee, my name is Kristen Hansen. I'm the Assistant Commissioner of Debt Management and Treasury at MMB. And I'd like to provide some testimony on the bill before you. And it looks like in your packets you have a copy of our capital investment guidelines. As part of an effort to maintain the state's bond issue, we have a number of mechanisms in place to do so. The capital investment guidelines, which were updated in 2009, of which you have a copy, indicate that the total tax-supported principal outstanding of our bonds shall be 3.25% or less of the total state personal income tax. The second guideline says that the total amount of principal, both issued and authorized but unissued, for state general obligations, state moral obligations, equipment, capital leases, and real estate capital leases are not to exceed 6% of the state personal income. And lastly, the third guideline indicates that 40% of the general obligation debt shall be due within 5 years and 70% within 10 years if consistent with the useful life of what's being financed by those bonds. These guidelines align more with what the rating agencies are looking at. That's why they were updated. And right now we are currently following all of those guidelines with the current bonds that we have outstanding. In addition, we have had in place for almost 30 years some refunding guidelines that we would see at least 5% in aggregate present value savings on the refunding bonds, as well as 3% on individual maturities. We are supportive of the concept of refunding bonds. Obviously, we monitor the opportunity for refunding bonds all the time. The state's financial advisors, as well as underwriters, continue to provide us with updates on opportunities to refund bonds. In fact, in the fall of 2010, we issued over $900 million of refunding bonds, which saved the state in upfront savings $100 million in this biennium in the general fund. Although due to the structure of the bond issue, it did result in what is called dis-savings during the life of the bond issue. So the actual payments over the life of the bond issue increased, but it was a budgetary refunding where $100 million was saved. In addition, given the fact that we are in the middle of a legislative session and we have not come to any kind of budgetary agreements, we would not bring any bonds to market during that time because it's important for us to maintain our strong bond ratings, and that adds some element of uncertainty to the discussions that we would have with the rating companies. In fact, just this past week, Moody's Investor Service has put kind of overall state governments and local governments on negative watch for the third year in a row. So they're, you know, concerned about what's happening at the state level. So we would not want to bring anything to market at this time for risking the state's bond rating. So there are numbers that have been floating around the Capitol on potential savings. And like I said, we continue monitoring for that opportunity. The numbers that are out there are different than what our financial advisors are showing and other underwriters that are taking into consideration our debt management guidelines as well as our refunding thresholds.
Ms. Hansen, can I just, when you said 30 seconds ago, you wouldn't probably want to do it during session.
Correct.
For the obvious reasons. It doesn't preclude us thinking about it perhaps even strongly after session, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And as you know, refundings are dependent on interest rates that you would receive on the bonds, the type of bid that you would receive, as well as the investment rates that you would earn in the escrow, which all are factors that contribute to a successful refunding. And like I said, we continue to monitor those. And as with the stock market, the bond market changes daily and is very volatile. So,
Ms. Hansen, can I just get a sense of volatility? And if you don't know, that's fine. But volatility is that in the millions of dollars a day, or the hundred thousands of dollars a day, or
it all's dependent on the market. However, we did have an underwriting firm provide us with information the first part of March and now mid March, and the savings went down, you know, in the last 2 weeks by probably $15 million. And like I said, we don't know what assumptions are being used with some of the figures that are floating around here. And you also have to pay attention to whether those numbers include total general fund savings or also include savings to the trunk highway bonds as well. So with that, that concludes my testimony.
Okay, any questions of Ms. Hansen? Senator Jungbauer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Hansen, you went over everything kind of fast, so I'm trying to really understand this. Two things. You talked about not looking at this unless there was a 5% aggregate savings. Can you expound on that? And then I have a quick follow-up on the another part of that you said.
Yes. The state had established prior to me being in this role, and when Peter Sausen was in this role, a 5% present value savings. When local governments or state governments issue refunding bonds, they always look at the present value savings, which is different than the cash savings that we're talking about to the general fund. And what the present value savings looks at is both the upfront savings and the cost over the life of the bond issue present valued over time.
And then,
Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Hansen, the follow-up to that was, you did talk about then kind of the life of the bond cost and whether or not that I didn't quite understand what you were talking about, whether it was a real savings or not when you looked at the life of the bond cost. Could you expound on that for me so I could? Again, you went over it kind of fast. I was trying to take notes and get it all in.
Hi.
Ms. Hansen.
Chairman, Senator. With refundings, there is that upfront, you know, savings. And when we did the $900 million refunding back in the fall, there was a present value savings. We did meet that 5% test, but you had the upfront savings because of the refunding, which helped the general fund. But as a result, it increased the debt service payments on the bonds over time.
Senator Jungbauer, is that perfectly clear?
Actually, I do understand it. I did. She went over it so fast to begin with. Like,
okay. Other questions of the witness?
Mr.
Yes,
Chair,
Senator Langston.
It kind of appears that while it's a savings for the present next biennium, it's kind of shoving it forward, and it's more costly after that. I kind of think that's what you're saying, right?
For the purpose of our Chairman, Senator Langseth, for a budgetary refunding, that's exactly right. There is a upfront savings, cash savings to the general fund, and it is in this biennium for that $900 million refunding we did. But it, over the long term, it did increase the debt payments over time. However, the present value savings was positive and met the 5% threshold.
Ms. Hansen, is the dynamic such as the savings up front? Well, I guess it's the way you look at it, but and when you need the money, but the savings up front generally that's of greater value generally than the downside debt service. And again, I suspect it's just mathematics, and it's the way you look at it. So
yes,
it's when you need the cash, probably.
Senator Sundrum, that's correct. It's a policy decision on, you know, how you want to realize the savings.
Sure. Okay, any other questions of the witness? Okay, thank you, Ms. Hansen, very much. Are there any other people to testify on Senate File 986 as amended? Anyone else? If not, I'd like to move Senate File 986 as amended be adopted and referred to the Finance Committee. And all in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And the motion carries. And thank you very much. I apologize for doing this in the middle of the mix of hearings and so on, but it's all timing at this point. Thank you. And the meeting is adjourned.
Yeah, I was going to say, the meeting is adjourned.